Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? The gospel lesson this morning is from Matthew chapter 11 on 15:12 in your pew Bible. When Jesus had finished giving these instructions to his 12 disciples, he went out to teach and preach in towns throughout the region. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else?" Jesus told them, "Go back to John and tell what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured. The deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor." And he added, "God blesses those who do not fall away because of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began talking about him to the crowds. "What kind of man did you go into the wilderness to see? Was he a weak reed, swayed by every breath of wind? Or were you expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothes? People with expensive clothes live in palaces. Were you looking for a prophet? Yes, and he is more than a prophet. John is the man to whom the scriptures refer when they say this, 'Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. So friends, as we prepare our hearts this morning, would you join me in a word of prayer? Loving and gracious God, we come to you today, looking for the joy that you can bring to us, for hope in the midst of despair, for the love that you give, and for your promised presence with us. And God, as we are here in the season of Advent, as we're journeying toward your birth, and as we prepare ourselves for really the journey of faith and of all that that entails, we pray that your Spirit might move in and through us, that we would reflect all that you are to the world around us, that you would fill each one of us up, that we might have strength for the journey. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we were introduced to John the Baptist. Who remembers about John the Baptist? What was John the Baptist wearing? Clothes made out of camel hair. That's where that missing camel was, Linda. John took it to make a shirt. He was eating locusts, wild honey. He's off in the wilderness by himself. Probably people thought he was a lunatic. But he starts to talk about someone who's coming, Messiah, who's coming. And people start to go out and listen to him preach, and people start to be baptized. And we heard last week that the message that John the Baptist brings, this is a season of Christmas, right? And we talk about peace, and we want world peace for Christmas, and we like comfort. We sing about comfort and joy and all those wonderful things. But the message that John the Baptist brings is rather harsh. It's not an easy one to hear. He talks about someone who has a winnowing fork, which was used to separate the chaff from the wheat. And he says, he's going to do that in your lives. And all the chaff is going to be burned away. And John the Baptist calls those people who are coming, who maybe are more curious and really aren't that interested in what John says, but maybe they're looking for for a way to detract from him or to argue with his message. He calls them snakes. John the Baptist brings a harsh message to us, but as I mentioned last week, I think it's a message that if we're honest with ourselves, we need to hear. Because often we have stuff in our lives that we need to deal with. Stuff that we need to allow God to burn away so that we can really be the disciples that we're called to be. Well, John the Baptist shows up in our text again this week. But it's very different circumstances. John the Baptist has been arrested and he's put in prison. If you know some of the backstory there, John the Baptist ends up getting arrested by the religious authorities, and he's there. Herod, one of the kings, has him in jail and eventually ends up beheading John the Baptist as a way to, Herod is in a drunken stupor, and he makes this deal. One of his daughters, I believe it's his daughter or his wife, wants him to bring Herod's head in on a platter. And so he ends up doing this. That's how John the Baptist dies. But he's in jail right now. And he's starting to doubt just a little bit. He's starting to doubt. Is this Messiah, this Jesus fellow, is he really who he says he is? I doubt too, wouldn't you? Here's Jesus who's supposed to bring in the kingdom of God, who's supposed to start a revolution to make the nation of Israel great again. Here I am in prison. Come on, Jesus. What are you doing? So John the Baptist starts to doubt. So he sends word to some of his disciples to go and say, Jesus, are you really who you are? Are you really the Messiah? Are you the one who was promised to come and to restore Israel? And I love what Jesus says to John's disciples to go back to tell John. Jesus doesn't go to the Old Testament, to the Hebrew Bible, to the prophets to say, you know, to sort of go to those and as proof that he is who he said he is. He doesn't give the disciples sort of this long biblical or theological treatise to go and to proclaim to John. No, he says, go back and tell what you've seen, what you've heard about people whose lives are being restored, about people who couldn't walk and who are now running. Go tell John about people who were blind and who now see. Go tell John about relationships that were broken and are now mended. Go tell John that. I think one of the most powerful things that each one of us can do is to not necessarily, when we're presented with a situation where someone might say to us, oh, why do you go to church? Why do you believe that nonsense? You can't really believe in God anyway. That Jesus fellow, what's the deal with him? Questions that maybe some of you have gotten. I think one of the most powerful things that any one of us can do is to not try to argue with people or to go to the Bible and give them scriptures to spout at them to try to prove something, but it's to tell our story. To tell what we have seen and heard God do. Each one of us in our lives, I know it. I know that you can tell a story. I know you can tell a story of someone whose life has been radically changed. Maybe someone who was physically healed. Or a relationship that was restored. Or, or something that happened that you could point to and say, that was really God at work. Because you see, there's people all around us, and maybe there's some of us here today who are in prison just like John. Not a physical prison. But there are people all around us. There are us at times who are really held captive by doubt, by disillusionment, by bitterness. And we start to wonder, you know what, is this really worth it? Is Jesus really who he said he is? Why do these things keep happening to me? Are some of you there? Have you been there? What a place to be in. What a place to be in. And yet, if we can just manage to open our eyes a little bit, open our ears a little, and expect. And see, this is the thing. To look for God, to look for what He is doing in our lives and in our world in places that we might not expect. You see, I have no doubt that John is expecting for his disciples to come back and to perhaps go to the Hebrew prophets and say, look at what they prophesied and look at what Jesus is doing, or to point to Israel's history in some way to try to make a connection that Jesus is the Messiah. But it's not like that. Jesus says, go back and give them your testimony. Go back and tell what you have seen and heard about what God is doing. I suspect that's not what John was expecting. But that's something that can change our lives. Joy. Today is the Sunday that we think about joy. We lit the candle of joy. We hope and look for the joy that Jesus can bring us. When you hear the word joy, what does joy mean to you? Linda got at it just a little bit in the children's sermon. there's a particular there's happiness is part of that. But joy goes deeper. Joy is a lifestyle. Joy is a lifestyle. Joy is a decision that each one of us makes. A deliberate decision about a particular way of being in the world. When Paul was in prison and he's writing to the church in Philippi, he said that I have learned, no matter what condition I am in, I've learned to find joy. He said, I've learned to be content. If you're in prison today, if you're held captive by the fear of tomorrow, by the news that a phone call might bring, by a relationship, by shaky finances, health concerns, fear, anger, mistrust, whatever you feel right now is holding you captive. Can you start to cultivate that mindset that Paul had when he was in jail? That no matter what is happening around me, no matter what is going on that I can't control, and folks, most of us can't really control any of the things going on around us, but we can control the way we react to them. Can we cultivate joy? In the midst of doubt, in the midst of despair, can we cultivate joy? Can we be people of joy? What would that look like in our world today? If we were people who deliberately said, no matter what's happening around me, no matter if I have no money in my bank account, no matter how other people treat me, no matter if my health is facing some serious problems and challenges, I'm going to be a person of joy. How might that change the world around us? Because, friends, we have a message that we've been talking about and that we're leading to about a God who loved us so much that He became one of us, to identify with us in every way. So no matter how you're feeling this morning, Jesus has been there. Jesus can identify with that. With the whole gamut of human emotion and experience, God Himself is identified with you. And that's good news. That's good news that even in the midst of it all, God is with us. God is with us. God hasn't promised to make it easy or to take all the pain away. But God has promised to be with us. God was with John in that prison cell. God was with St. Paul in that prison cell. God's with each one of us today. Can you cultivate joy? Can you be a person of joy? C.S. Lewis, the great writer who wrote Chronicles of Narnia, was a professor, wrote a lot of theological books. He wrote a book, his autobiography. He's got some maybe not so much joy. We'll pray that James feels some joy right now. C.S. Lewis wrote his autobiography, and the title is Surprised by Joy. And his book is about, it's a fabulous book. It's about, you know, growing up, going to school, his education, his writing, his relationships. But he talks about he had a moment. When his wife died, he was married late in life, fell in love with this beautiful American woman, and they were married for about 2 years before she died of cancer. And he talks about coming to a moment after he was just drenched with agony. He was working through that grief. When he came out sort of on the other side, as much as you can come out another side when something like that happens. He talked about a moment where he had to make a decision. Was he going to be a person of joy? Or was he going to perpetually live in despair? And he made a decision to live as a person of joy. And he calls the book Surprised by Joy because he was surprised at the change that that made in him. He talked about colors started to be brighter. And when he went out in the morning, he could hear birds in a way he'd never heard them before. And his relationships changed. He treated people differently. He saw the world totally differently because he made a decision to live out of a place of joy instead of a place of despair. And friends, that doesn't mean that we make light of all the difficulties we're going through or that they somehow don't matter or that they're not important, because none of that is true. They are. All of us face things that are serious. Even in the midst of that, we can make a decision to be people of joy. To be people who will echo what St. Paul said, that no matter what our circumstances, we have learned to find contentment in it. To be people of joy. May we be filled with the joy of God today. Amen. Sisters and brothers, receive this benediction. May you go forth from this place into a needy world, living as people of hope, people filled with the love of God. And may you go forth strengthened by the power of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.